Welcome to the LifePurpose.com podcast.
The number one podcast in the entire cosmos for empowering and inspiring you to live your life's purpose.
My name is Hema Ullman.
And I'm Gabriel Serra.
And today's episode is about your life purpose and the golden shadow. Another way of speaking about the term shadow is also labeling it as the unconscious mind. And if you think about the unconscious mind, it runs probably about 95% of our life experience. And it's only 5% that is the tip of the iceberg that we can perceive with our five senses. If you visualize an iceberg, you have the tip of the iceberg that you can actually see with your physical eyes. And then you have the bottom of the iceberg that goes deep into the ocean that you cannot see with your physical eyes unless you dive into the ocean. So this is the same concept that I am speaking about when I talk about the shadow. And the shadow that we all have is our unconscious. It's the bottom of the iceberg. And our conscious mind, our conscious perception is the tip of the iceberg that we can actually perceive only with our five senses. Does that make sense? So there is nothing bad about the shadow. It is simply your unconscious, everything that you are not consciously aware of. And it is during this time that we're in, call it the age of Aquarius, the age of ascension, the age of a higher state of consciousness, where the unconscious becomes conscious. So our shadows can no longer run your life once they come to the light, because then you become conscious of who you truly are. And as we have already discussed in the previous episodes, when we face our shadows, we actually face more of our potential. We face more of our power. All of a sudden, we remember more about our truth. So is there really something bad about the shadow? No, it's not. It is a misconception that we believe the shadow is bad because we got indoctrinated to believe that the darkness is bad, that the darkness is something to be scared of, but it's not. It's a part of us. It is the deepest, the rooted part of who we truly are. So in order for you to really remember who you are, you need to go deep and you need to be willing to go into your unconscious. And how do you go into your unconscious? You need to be able to go beyond your five senses, because the five senses are the conscious part of you. It's what you can taste. It's what you can see with your physical eyes. It's what you can touch with your fingers. But in order to go into the unconscious, you need to see with your mind's eye. We're talking about the third eye. How do we see in the unconscious if it's not conscious? If it's not visible to the physical eye, we have to be able to use our other senses. We have to be able to use our intuition. We have to be able to use our other senses. And yeah, so I know that it can feel at times very paralyzing when you are faced with your shadows and when you don't understand what the shadow is and when you're not educated on your shadow. You may get scared. You may run away because it's unknown. And many times it is when things are unknown, we tend to react with fear. But when things are coming to the surface for you that may feel uncomfortable, you have to know that it is simply an unconscious part of you that is now surfacing to the light, that is now surfacing to become part of your conscious mind. And when we make an unconscious part of us, the shadow part of us, conscious, we bring it into the light, it no longer controls you. It no longer paralyzes you. It simply just comes to the light. And that's how you neutralize the shadow. And this is something for all of us that is happening now at this stage. We are all being faced with our shadows because it is part of remembering and awakening to who we truly are. Dr. Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, they all speak about this, that the human mind, we only tapped into 2 or 3% of our potential. What about the rest? The rest is the unconscious mind. The rest is what we call the shadows. It's the bottom of the iceberg. So when we actually do the shadow work, we are actually exploring more of our truest potential and who we truly are as a human species. And this is a huge treasure. And every time you go into your shadows, every time you dive deep, the deeper you dive into your unconscious, the more treasures you will find, because the treasures of the world are all on the bottom of the ocean. Think about the lost cities, Lemuria, Atlantis, and all the treasures that even in cartoon shows, where do people always find the treasures? It's on the bottom of the ocean. That's not by accident. And the ocean, what is the ocean? It's the symbol of our unconscious. So why is it important to go deep? Why is it important to explore your own unconscious mind? And how does this relate to living your purpose? Living your purpose means remembering more of your fullest, greatest potential. And in order for you to discover your greatest and fullest potential, you need to be able to go really deep into your unconscious to reawaken and re-access the lost memory, the lost treasures, the lost talents that you carry within you. And if you think about the ocean as a metaphor for the unconscious, the human body is made out of 80% water. So the water in our body is like the ocean. It contains the information. It contains the lost, forgotten wisdom and information. It's in your own cells. It's in your own water. Does that make sense? There's a song by Aya Schaefer, which came to me 2 years ago when I was going through a major spiritual rebirth. And there was something about the song that really captivated me. And I've been listening and singing with it over and over again. And it's called Deep Dive, or Into the Waters, something like that. Into the Waters, or Deep Dive Into the Waters. And the song is basically about going into your own waters and diving deep into your own waters to explore and to remember who you truly are. And there are many songs out there that talk about the same concept. And I am sharing this because I want people and everyone who is listening to know that, from my belief, it is a big misconception now at this stage to be scared of your unconscious, to be scared of the shadows, and to be fearing your own darkness. There is nothing to fear. It's actually the opposite. And when we speak about, you were mentioning the cabal. What is the cabal? It's something that we consider as dark, mysterious, evil. But what if the cabal is actually just the collective unconscious shadow? And we just found a term to label it as something. But what if the evil, what we call evil or the bad or the shadows on this planet that we may judge, is nothing but the collective unconscious, where there is the good and the not so good. Everything is there. Everything that we have done, all the wars that we had, all the killing and the murdering and all the greed and the selfishness, but also all the good things. All the peace, all the enlightenment, all the wisdom, all the prosperity, all the golden age information that we've had collectively, it's all there. And we just found labels. We tend to label the dark side of it. We give it names: evil, the cabal, the dark agenda, the Illuminati. But then we also have the light side, and we have other terms for the light side. But it's ultimately all part of the unconscious, the bottom of the iceberg, which we all share as a collective species on this planet. I'm talking about the collective human unconscious and the individual human unconscious, where our potential and our purpose is stored individually and collectively. And it is just going to accelerate more and more in the years to come, because the light is getting stronger, but also the darkness is getting stronger. And it feels more and more, the contrast is more and more noticeable. And it is all serving us to really remember who we truly are as souls, as consciousness. And it's a journey to really exploring your own treasures within.
On that note, since you're speaking about treasures, for the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about the shadows and doing our shadow work. I got us these shadow work journals from Zenful Note. And the shadow work journal that we've been working with has forced me to go through this journey of looking at my shadows, looking at my projections, where are my insecurities and my flaws. And I've become really much better aware of my shadows. But it was in last week's episode that we had talked more about the shadow work and the aspect of ascending from the shadows to living our life's purpose. So if you haven't heard that one yet, listen to that episode and then come back to this. But in that episode, I had done that research for a blog post based on that podcast episode last week. And I discovered, out of all the times that I've ever done the research on the shadow work, it just finally came up. And Emma, much to the point of what you were saying, what lies at the bottom of the ocean? A treasure. But it's really hard to find, because if you think about the bottom of the ocean where there's no sunlight that goes there, you know, it's dark.
Unless you go there with your own light.
Unless you know how to get down there all the way and with your own light, yes. But what lies at the bottom of the ocean is the treasure. And the treasure for those that do the shadow work is what Carl Jung referred to as the golden shadow. If you think about the golden shadow, what is the golden shadow? Well, let's rewind for a bit and let's talk about the shadow. The shadow is all the repressed aspects of your psyche that you've ignored or you pushed away, likely because you learned from a young age that being yourself was a bad thing. So if you had a sensitivity, if you were hypersensitive and you cried a lot because you felt very emotional at times, you probably had an uncle or an aunt or some type of relative that laughed at you or criticized you for being hypersensitive. And then that made you shut down, and that made you think to yourself, I can't be like this. So you learn how to build up the wall. And in the process of doing that, you form a shadow. And if you have enough of these experiences in your childhood and at any point in your life, you form a shadow around this topic. So Carl Jung had mentioned through his work that the importance of doing the shadow work is, part of it is to become self-aware, yeah. But I think looking on it now and just looking at us and how much progress that we've made throughout our journey and from where we have been, from the people that we were before, the versions of ourselves that we were before to now, I think that shadow work is very important, and reprogramming your subconscious mind is incredibly important. Rewiring yourself, breaking the habit of being yourself is incredibly important, because if you continue to allow yourself to be run by the shadows and to be mind controlled by the shadows, you've mentioned the Cabal, and the Cabal, I don't know much about it, but from what I understand, there's a lot of influence around mind control and mind controlling the collective consciousness. So I can't say much about the Cabal or speak much about that topic. But what I can say from what I research about the shadow is that the shadow operates in a similar way, is that it controls you and it controls the parts of you that you think are you, but they're not really who you are. So if you notice that you have a tendency to self-sabotage, is that you, the truth of who you truly are, or is that your shadow sabotaging you because you've been mind controlled by that shadow program? Anyway, as I was doing this research and as I was writing the blog post for last week's episode of the podcast, I found out about the golden shadow. And if you decide to do the shadow work and to integrate and accept your shadows, become aware of your shadows, Know when you're self-sabotaging. Know when you're being defensive. Know when you're overreacting. And find a way how to now take back control, as opposed to letting the shadow, that mind control, control you. You now control the mind control. You now decide what happens in your life, and you're no longer run by these programs. Well, what lies beyond that? That's the golden shadow. And the golden shadow is basically the true aspect of you. It's the true aspect of you. It's the true truth of who you truly are.
Mm.
We had read a few years ago about 20 books called the I Am Discourses, and they were written by two people that were, I guess, channeling for Saint Germain, the Ascended Master Saint Germain. So we started reading this series of books, and they talk about the concept of the higher self, the mighty I Am presence, your I Am presence. So if you think about the human, and if you even apply the work of Carl Jung into this, it makes absolute sense. If in our regular psyche, we have our conscious mind, and then we have the id, and then we have the superego. Well, what is the id and what is the superego? The id is the lower vibrational aspect of us. And if you want to apply that to the shadow, I guess that's the best way to put it. I don't know if that's the exact way that I can say that. If the id is the equivalent of the shadow, I don't know if even still the superego would be the equivalent of the mighty I Am presence. But what I can say is that within each of us, and this is from my experience, and we've talked about this and in some of the research that I've done for my doctorate, this is what I've come to discover. Within each of us, there is a human aspect of us, and then there's a higher self aspect of us. That higher self aspect of us, if you think about it, is like an eagle flying above head, high above the ground, that can look down on everything. Think about that as your mighty I Am presence. It sees the bigger picture of you. It doesn't get stuck in the details of life, because it knows the bigger plan. It knows your purpose. It knows what the path of your life is supposed to be. And it is your North Star. That's your mighty I Am presence. But then there's the human side of you. And the human side of you is the identity. It is the psyche. It is the ego. It is the identity that you have been conditioned to believe that you are. Someone gave you the name Hema. Someone told you you're a female. Someone told you whatever conditions or whatever programs or whatever beliefs or ideas that you have about the world today, someone gave you that information. Whether you read it yourself, whether you were told it or you researched it, whatever, it was the outer world. So now you have this human aspect of you, and that's your psyche. Then you have this higher self of you that is very neutral. It is the equivalent of, like, if you were to meditate and be completely unattached to your human identity, and you could actually get into that space of becoming the observer, that would be like your mighty I Am presence, and you receive the information from a higher source of consciousness. I believe that that could be linked, now when I think about it, to an aspect of your golden shadow. I think that your golden shadow is another version of your I Am presence, but in the human form.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So if you have the shadow here, like I was saying, you have the human and then you have the mighty I Am presence. Well, if you have the shadow, then you have the golden shadow. Right? So it's the best of you. Now, why am I saying all this? Why am I talking about this? It's because, as you were saying, Hema, within each of us, we have our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. From what I know, if we're looking at the metaphor of the iceberg, which is a perfect analogy or metaphor to use, the iceberg, the mass of the iceberg is 80 to 90% hidden underwater. And the conscious mind, or the part of the iceberg that we can see, is only 10 to 20%. So that means that there's a lot more to us than we can even comprehend. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do you work that job that you work? Why do you consider yourself a fuck up or a loser or successful or pretty or whatever? Where does that idea come from? And why is it that you believe the thoughts that you believe on a consistent and regular basis? It's something deeper within you that you are not consciously aware of. And when you do the shadow work, from what I've observed, yes, you'll have insights that come up to you, but I only think that that's only a very small fraction of your shadow coming from your subconscious mind to your conscious mind. It's like a water bubble. You know what a word? Yeah.
Yeah, like a fart in the water.
Yeah, like that's a good way to put it. Yes, it's like a water bubble. So when it's like deep in and it comes up to the surface.
A water fart.
A water fart. That's the best way to put it. So think about that. When something comes up to the surface from deep down, it takes a while to get up there, but then it eventually makes its way to the surface. So if you think about your shadow in that way, that's your golden shadow. So if you have this treasure all the way deep in the bottom of the ocean, your golden shadow is little bubbles, little parts of you coming up to the surface. Now, what's the best way to get to the golden shadow? The best way to get to the golden shadow is through the shadow.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, wow, I'm seeing this perfect vision right now. Just give me a moment. I'm going to explain what I see because this illustrates it perfectly. The way to discover and to remember your greatest treasures, your greatest purpose and potential is through your shadows. Now, as you were saying, Gabriel, with the bubbles, I'm seeing the bottom of the ocean right now and I see a bunch of treasure. A bunch of treasures, treasure boxes, and they're covered with dirt. They're covered with dark, muddy dirt. And in order for you to actually see and discover the treasure boxes, you have to remove the dirt. You have to remove the what you consider the dark dirt. So the dirt comes to the surface first. It's the dirt. It's the darkness. It's the stuff that you consider ugly. That's your shadow. It's letting you know, ding, ding, ding. It's knocking on your mind. It's knocking on your consciousness. Ding, ding, ding. It's triggering you. And you're like, what is it? I don't want to get triggered. And you keep shutting your shadow down. You keep shutting it down because it feels uncomfortable. But it's actually the dirt from the treasure box that comes to the surface. That's letting you know, hey, we are ready for the next level. We are ready to remember another aspect of who we truly are. We are ready to remember a part of our treasure, of our gifts, of our purpose. But it comes in the form of a shadow. It comes in the form of an uncomfortable feeling, of a trigger, of maybe a fear or an anxiety or an insecurity, because it's the dirt. And once you actually face the dirt and you're willing to see it, you're willing to welcome it and to embrace it, then you can go deeper, and then layer by layer by layer, the dirt from the treasure box is removed. And then all of a sudden you see that, oh wow, there's a treasure there. And then you can access the treasure. And it's in the treasure where there is your blessing.
To go and take it a step further, it's a great illustration, by the way, Hema. To take it a step further, what is that gold treasure? That gold treasure, that golden shadow, is the version of you that is living your purpose.
And we're getting chills everywhere. This is the message. This is the message, yes.
So this is the bigger overall reason why we're talking about the golden shadow. So according to Jungian psychology, so we have Carl Jung, his work really emphasized the shadows. And the concept of integrating the aspects of yourself that you've suppressed and accepting yourself, loving yourself, and remembering that you're whole. Why? Because from that place of working with your shadows, which you can consciously, you know, work on and integrate the next level, the dirt, right? When you take off that dirt, that is your shadow. And when you take off that dirt, you've got the gold. Oh. That gold, that golden treasure is your golden shadow. That golden shadow is the part of you. It is the five-year-old version of you that was like, I want to be a comedian and I want to make people laugh because that's what I want to do with my life. Maybe that's your purpose. Maybe that's not your purpose. But that's the idea. That's the reason why doing the shadow work is so important and why we're emphasizing this right now. We were on this journey for the last couple of months on this path to 10Xing ourselves. And what we discover is that for us to 10X ourselves and get to the next level, guess what? We have to rewire our psychology. But in order for us to do that, what has to happen? We need to address our limitations, our limiting beliefs. How do you do that? You work on your shadows. You work on your conscious and your subconscious mind. From there, there will come a point. And I was like, why would I do the shadow work stuff? Like, what is the point of this? But then
I asked myself the same question.
But then last week, out of all the times I've ever heard about shadow work, no one has ever. But all of a sudden, I see the term golden shadow. So that tells me we're either I or we are in some type of vibrational alignment now with this golden shadow. So we're getting close. But I was wondering this whole time, what's the purpose of this? Like, why would you work on your shadows? And what does that have to do with your life purpose? But then it came to me, the answer came. And according to Carl Jung, when we do the shadow work, we then become faced with our golden shadow. That is the aspect of ourselves of who we truly wanted to be. So even if you think about the mighty I am presence, the higher self that we talked about from the I am discourses, channeled for Saint Germain. If the mighty I am presence, another aspect of that is the golden shadow. The golden shadow is the best in you that you could possibly be. It is the version of you that is raw, unfiltered, 100% authentic. You are the version of yourself that you've always wanted to be. You own yourself 100%.
It's you returning back to who you truly, truly are.
Exactly.
Once you have shed the layers of dirt and shadows that weren't you to begin with.
Exactly. But in that process, you know, you're going to have these situations where you're going to have to dig through a lot of past experiences and traumas, addressing things about yourself that you may not like, that make you cringe, feelings of embarrassment, shame, guilt, fear.
It's uncomfortable.
Acknowledging your sexual desires, acknowledging your sexual energy, acknowledging the anger inside of you, or the sadness, or the resentment, or the disappointment, whatever it is, addressing those things, addressing your shadows, addressing the parts of you that you've pushed away and you said, that is unacceptable, I cannot be that, because I have already seen what it was like to be that version of myself and people didn't like it, so I gotta stay shut. If you can get beyond that, you have the opportunity to get to that gold. You have the opportunity to get to that golden shadow. And as I say this, I think about people digging for oil. You ever seen someone dig for oil?
Yeah.
You know what that process is like? You have to dig through all that dirt. And then all of a sudden, if you dig enough, all that black goo starts to come up, right? For some people, they call that black gold, right? I also can't help but think about Tony Robbins and when we were at Business Mastery. And there was a part in Business Mastery where Tony Robbins was talking about going after your dreams and not quitting. Do you have what it takes to go the distance and believe in yourself when others doubt you, when others think you're crazy, when others think you're out of your mind? And he referenced a true story about a man who had discovered, ironically enough, somewhere in the ocean, somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, there was a treasure worth tens of millions of dollars. And he had dated it back like hundreds of years to like Spanish travelers that were incredibly rich, that went from Africa or whatever part of the world. And along the way, their ship sank and then they lost that treasure. And it was worth tens of millions of dollars. And Tony Robbins was talking about this guy that he knew that there was a treasure there. And he said, okay, according to all my research and everything like this, this treasure has to be somewhere here in this part of the ocean. It may be in the Atlantic, it may have been the Pacific, I don't know. But this is just the idea of the story. And this guy, he was able to convince a team of people to invest in him and to invest in finding out wherever this treasure was. So the first year, they did exactly what this guy had said. They had gone to that location and they were searching for the treasure. They spent money to go out there and do this excavation work. They found nothing. The second year, do it again. Same thing, nothing. Third year goes by, nothing. Fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, nothing. At this point, these people that had once believed in him said, hey, you know, maybe it's not there. Maybe there was no such treasure to begin with. But this guy was like, no. He was so insistent. He was so adamant. He was like, there is a treasure here. I am absolutely 100% certain of this. But that team of people that originally had invested in him because they believed in him, they quit on him. So this guy found another team, and then the same thing happened. How many people would have quit after the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year? This guy, according to Tony Robbins, this guy searched for this treasure for like 15 or 16 years. And then one year, one fateful year, he found the treasure. He found the golden treasure that was buried and hidden deep within the ocean, deep within the ocean. And he amassed an amount of wealth that is like, it's a lot. It's tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions. So he found the treasure. And I'm bringing this up because that's the same thing too. Like, if you think about it, for your shadows, sometimes you're going to have to consciously like dig in and find and go deep into the ocean to find wherever the start of the iceberg is. And you may not. And you're thinking like, okay, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. I know it's here. I know there's a golden shadow here. I know there's a treasure here for me and all this craziness. But why am I, like, where do I go? Like, what do I do? But that's when you have to have that conviction and you have to have that faith and trust in yourself that what you're doing will return a reward to you over the long term. And it's the same thing like with the shadows. You're making a conscious effort. You are making a conscious effort to integrate and accept your shadows, so that you can get to the stage of having the golden shadow integration and being your most authentic true self. But for all these years, you may be searching in this location or in this location. You're in the vicinity. You're very close, but you're not at the exact X marks the spot pinpoint location. So you got to keep going sometimes. And you have to keep pivoting and adjusting and making all these little corrections and working on these little aspects of yourself that you find to be flawed, right? Oh, I'm insecure. I feel fear about this topic. I feel afraid to be punished. And you're working on all these little things. You're digging in all these little spots until one day, there's the treasure. There is the golden shadow. That is the massive treasure. And that massive treasure is what leads you to having it all that you want to have. Like, think about this. Alicia Keys, she grew up without a father, from what I understood. She had her mom, and she had a love for music. Now, had Alicia Keys repressed or ignored her love of music and have created a story for herself that prevented her, or created a shadow that prevented her from being the Alicia Keys that she is today because of a story from her father, we would not have Alicia Keys that we know today. All the music that she's created, how that's impacted you, how that's impacted people all over the world who have listened to her music. Same thing with Tony Robbins, same thing with Lisa Nichols, same thing with Michael Jackson, same thing with fill in the blank. It's the gold that we're looking for. And I think that that's why we do the shadow work, because we know that what lies beyond the shadows, it's the golden shadow. It's the version of us that is the 10x version. It is the version of us that does not settle. It is the version of us that plays to the highest level as the big ones. And it is the version of us that brings us all the success and all the wealth that we could ever possibly want. It's us being in full connection and full alignment with our gifts. Whether you're, you know, you're clairvoyant, clairaudient, you can draw, you can paint, you can do whatever. That's the gift. Access the gift, access the treasure, and you'll be able to do unimaginable things. But you'll never get there if you are afraid of the dark, if you're afraid to get uncomfortable, if you're afraid to not look in the shadows, clean out the closet. Whatever metaphor you want to use, you've got to embrace the aspects of yourself that you don't like, and that's uncomfortable.
Thank you for listening to the lifepurpose.com podcast. If you enjoy our content, I invite you to also join our free newsletter where we share exclusive content. Click the link in the description below or go directly to lifepurpose.com and sign up to our newsletter. And now back to the episode. Have you found your golden shadow yet?
No, but I feel like I'm getting really close. I feel like the shadow work that we're doing has helped me become more expressive. And this past Friday, we had the shadow date and it was my turn. And as you heard, I had a lot of anger. Oh, you know, what came to me actually, I don't know why it came to me to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this. So I grew up with a biological mother that projected a lot of things onto me. A lot of her fears and worries and concerns, and they became my shadows. So my shadows were feeling not enough. And I'm just gonna say this. Yeah, so I have the shadows of feeling not enough, feeling insecure, feeling like a loser. And these were all projections that had been imprinted onto me from my biological mother and, you know, the environment growing up in Brooklyn. And I know that for her, because she was a single mom, because she had seen some things growing up when she was younger, she may have had this projection on me that I would not do much with my life. And I know that her fears, worries, and concerns for me were being dead, in jail, or on drugs. And I'd spent a large part of my life with this shadow where I believed that I was not enough and that whatever I did was not enough, so that I had to do extra. I had to go even more than what an average person would to, in my head, psychologically or subconsciously, feel a sense of enoughness. And Hema, you could probably even add on to this or vouch for this, but there's been times where, like, I made things a lot harder on myself than it had to be. And it's because of my imprints, because of these shadows. And, you know, looking at it now, I don't know why I thought about this, but literally this morning I woke up and I was walking Mama. And I thought about a kid who was also named Gabriel that I used to hang around with. And my biological mother, she would constantly have this fear of me getting into trouble, you know, getting killed, murdered, being put into jail, fill in the blank. Not the best projection for me. Not, there was no bar for me. The bar was set very low for me. Ironically enough, it would be a few years later from the time when I would hang out with this little Gabriel that I had heard that he was in jail for life for murder. And as I was doing this walk this morning with Mama, I instantly thought about that, and it came to me, okay, let's talk about that for whatever reason on the podcast. And I'm not exactly sure why I'm bringing this up, except, oh, okay, now it makes sense why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing this up because there's two people, okay? In this instance, in real life, there was a me, Gabriel, and there was another Gabriel, okay? They happen to call me Big Gabriel. They happen to call him Little Gabriel. What is the difference between the two people? We grew up in the same environment. Although we had different parents, we went to the same schools, we hung out, but yet one decides to murder someone and is now spending their life in jail. And there's another Gabriel that is co-hosting this podcast show. What is the difference?
Choice.
And to add on to that, the choice to use your shadows in a constructive way and to not let your shadows control you and take over your life. What do I mean? So even though I had never heard of the term shadow work up until maybe around 2018, never heard of this concept. But if I think about it, I was intuitively already in my own way doing my shadow work by using the parts of me that I saw as negative and doing the best that I could to turn that into a positive. So like I told you, I had this biological mother who had projected this idea or this vision on me for my life that I'd be a loser, I'd be dead, and all this stuff, in jail, on drugs, whatever. And I took that projection and I resented her so deeply. And this is what I was telling you this past Friday. I resented her so, so deeply. Like, there's a part of me that really hates her. Like a strong hate, you know? And I get it that people can say, oh, that's your mom. But you will never know what it was like until you've walked in my shoes and you've experienced these things, you know? Being put in harm's way at certain times, child protective services being called, you know, being threatened to be taken away and being put into a foster home. Like, these things were all happening, you know? And the difference between me and that other kid, that other Gabriel, if I think about it, was I decided to use the things about me that I hated. When I looked in the mirror, I hated myself when I was younger. I thought I was so ugly. I couldn't stand looking at myself in the mirror, you know? And I had this very low sense of self-worth. And I was telling you this past Friday when we're doing the shadow date. I had a very low level of self-worth because of the imprints, because of the mind control, the shadow. And, you know, if we're going to speak on the shadow, what I've come to understand it is that it's really an idea of who you think you are. So if you think about it, it's like a program that you're being run on, or that a part of your conscious mind or your subconscious mind is running on. It's up to you to become aware of that. All these years later, now I'm aware of this. But at that time, I was using these things. You're never going to make it. You're never going to go anywhere with your life, Gabriel. This is coming from my biological mother, basically, you know? Maybe not in those words, but this was pretty much the energy. This is pretty much it. You know, I wanted to go to Harvard. I had a dream to go to Harvard. And then she laughed at me. She said, I'm not going to help you apply to college. You're not going to Harvard, you know? I use these things in my advantage. And I think that that's the thing of the shadow work. That's the whole purpose of the shadow work, is what I'm getting at. The shadow work is not about just acknowledging, okay, I feel this insecurity. Okay, I feel not enough. All right, what am I going to do with it? And like I told you, because I had this low sense of self-worth, which I, as we talked about, was a projection that was imprinted onto me from my biological mother. But because I had that feeling of self-worth, I used that to say, okay, I'm not enough. I have no value. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to make myself valuable. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. And, you know, I did try very hard. I did the best that I could to be nothing like my relatives. I did the absolute best that I could do to be nothing like my relatives. So I use these feelings of feeling worthless, feeling very unvaluable, and finding ways to be valuable. and to have lots of value, you know. And, you know, you've seen it, Hamel, with the work that I've been was doing on lifepurpose.com. I took that website, which was not good at all, and I completely redid the website within a summer when it had taken a team of developers a couple of months to do this. You know, how did I get to that point? Because I had done this over and over and over again. Blog posts, writing the blog posts, creating the content for lifepurpose.com. I had to learn how to do all these things myself. And I tried so much in my journey to, you know, be seen and be heard on social media that I did everything that I could to learn every aspect of how to create content and be a content creator and be an influencer and et cetera. And now I can give that to you very easily. And now you can say from the outside, wow, what you have done for lifepurpose.com is incredibly valuable. But I would not have gone there had I not taken these projections and resented it. And not only just resented it, but I did something about it. And as I speak on that, I can't help but think about David Goggins and how David Goggins, for his story, he was saying that as he got out of the Air Force, if you ever read his book or listened to his audiobook, Can't Hurt Me, I definitely would recommend that to anyone to read. But that's basically it. He was doing his shadow work too. He may not have addressed it this way, but it was similar. He looked himself in the mirror one day. He said, "You are a piece of shit, David Goggins. I hate you. I can't stand you. I don't want to be this person anymore." And what did he start to do? He started to make the changes that he needed to make to become the Navy SEAL Goggins, to then becoming the Ultraman running marathoner, to then writing a top Audible selling book, probably one of the top Audible selling books of all time to date.
He made a choice.
And he made a choice, exactly. He made a choice. And similar to how the guy searching for his treasure in the ocean, he had to make a choice every single year. Every single year he went out to the ocean. He had to make a choice every single year, even if people were criticizing him, even if people were laughing at him, even if people were calling him crazy, delusional, out of his mind. He made a choice. And the choice that he made was simple. There is a fucking treasure at the bottom of the ocean. I'm going to get this treasure. One way or another, I'm getting this treasure. And you know, like the universe, the way that I see life is that the universe tests you to see how bad you really want it. And when it sees that you've wanted it bad enough, it says, okay, here, you just take it. Just go. It's yours now.
You've earned it.
You've earned it. You've more than earned it, guy. And I think that that was the case for that guy in the ocean. I think that was the case for David Goggins.
Yeah, it's also how consistent and how persistent can you be?
Exactly.
Like if you know that there is a treasure, if you know that there is something good coming out of this, it's those who just keep going that will come out on the other side.
Exactly. And like, you know, I would tell you sometimes, and I'm not even sure if I even spoke about it much, but man, there would be these times when I was homeless and I would just have these dreams. I just have these dreams of being so incredibly rich. And since I was like 15, 16, I've had this vision sometimes that will come on and off at different points in my life of me being in a private jet. And then I'd wake up and then I'd be homeless and I'd wake up on a rollaway bed and I have to go to school, you know? And I'm saying all this because it is a choice. It is a choice to do the shadow work. It is a choice to look at the parts of yourself that you find disgusting, that you think of as a monster. And it is a choice to learn how to use these things about you that you don't like and love the shit out of it and make it your best thing. And speaking on this now, I realized that this is what I was doing in my own way. I was taking the things about me that I had shoved away and pushed away, and I found a way to use that in a more constructive way. Even with anger, you know, like I said last week, I have anger issues. From what I've seen, I've been able to use anger in a constructive way and do something when I'm angry. But you can only do something constructive when you know how to use the energy, the shadow, in the constructive way. But it is a choice, and it is a conscious choice. And again, you know, if there was two Gabriels, one of them goes down one path, another one of them goes down another path. What is the difference? I could have been that Gabriel where I would be in jail for life for murdering someone. That could have been my reality. We grew up in the same environment, not too far from each other, blocks away from each other. There's gangs, there's drugs. I could have sold crack, but I chose not to because it's a choice. And for any of the big ones that you know, are interested in living their purpose, it is a conscious choice to live your purpose. We are doing this consciously every single week. Whether we feel like it or not, we're making a conscious choice to produce a podcast episode, a blog post, a newsletter, show notes every single week. That is a conscious choice. We're choosing to talk about the things that may feel uncomfortable for us and sharing that, not as a form of therapy, maybe, I don't know, but we're doing this more as a form of a shortcut for you, if I think about it, to inspire you, the big one, to do the things that you know that you were born to do. If you know that you were a big one, and that's in your heart, and you know that you have a big purpose, it is a choice to live out that big purpose. It is a choice to live out that big vision. God gave it to you, but now it's up to you to put your hands to use and do something constructive with it. That is a choice. And you could either take the stories of your parents and their beliefs and let that continue to mind control you, or you can control the shadow and have it submit to you and learn how to integrate it. Just because you're the son of a plumber doesn't mean that you have to be a plumber. You get what I'm saying? Just because your parents walked a certain path and they had financial issues or they had financial successes or they lived a certain way does not mean that you have to live that same way. You are free to be your own person, your own man, your own woman, or whatever label you want to call yourself. You are free, but you have to remember that you're free. And the way that you remember that you're free is by consciously remembering that you're free to begin with.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the LifePurpose.com podcast. If you found this episode valuable, share it with someone that you know needs to hear this. And until next time on the LifePurpose.com podcast.